Please be seated.
Well, after that rocky start to our worship service, I trust the Lord has something special for us this evening from His Word. If you turn with me to Psalm 23, Psalm 23, a familiar psalm, I'm sure, to most of us. Many psalms, as we've been seeing, these lament psalms were written in times of David's distress. Other psalms were written in times of joy and abundance, and this seems to be one of those times. Psalm 23, let us hear God's Word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 23 is without question the most well-known of all psalms and arguably the most well-known chapter in all of the Bible. It's a devotional masterpiece from so many, considered at so many different levels, really. It's known throughout the whole world, and millions have committed it to memory. It's brought comfort to millions, perhaps billions of people over the ages, in times of suffering and in times of fear. The psalm is often read to the sick and the dying because of the peace that it describes and also by the Spirit gives. For many, it's been one of the last things that they have uttered in this life. I can remember many years ago doing some ministry at a convalescent home, and at the person's request, reciting this psalm with her only days before she died. And she knew it from memory. Or we might think of the famous story now of Todd Beamer, who was on Flight 93, that went down on the tragic 9/11 in 2001, and how on the phone with the 911 dispatcher, he recited this psalm. So this is a psalm that is often used in times of fear, in times of trouble, in times of facing death. It may be the psalm you request on your deathbed. But it's not only for death. It's not only a psalm that brings us comfort in times of distress. Remarkably, it's a psalm that also is appropriate for times of joy and celebration. It's such a unique psalm because it's appropriate for so many different occasions in life. We could just as easily read this psalm at the birth of a child, or on an afternoon where a child makes profession of faith, or at a graduation, or even in a wedding, as well as any ordinary day in the life of a Christian. Because this psalm is always an appropriate part of our prayer life and praise to the Lord each day. For the psalm, it describes the Lord as a shepherd, as one who provides, one who protects, one who guides. And that brings every Christian such comfort to know that the Lord protects us, the Lord provides for us, the Lord guides us. The Lord is not just a shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Few metaphors could be as comforting as this one. And yet, of course, because the text is so familiar to us, anytime there's a text that's so familiar to us, we always run the risk of assuming that we know what that text means without understanding the main point and the greater purpose that it has for us. And so we want to consider this rich psalm this evening that tells us that the Lord is our shepherd, because it points us, of course, to our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals Him. It tells us about Him. And we hear His words to us through this psalm. He is the one ultimately who has promised to feed us, to guard us, to guide us every day of our lives and on into eternity. He is our Good Shepherd. So let's listen to Psalm 23 this evening and meditate on how it tells us about the shepherd's provision, the shepherd's protection, and the shepherd's promise. First of all, there's the shepherd's provision, and we'll spend most of our time on this. David begins the psalm with this famous line, that the Lord is my shepherd. And you'll notice there, you probably if you have the ESV, it has Lord spelled out in four capital letters. Lord, which is, of course, the word Yahweh, the name of God, the name that the Lord revealed to Moses at the burning bush when Moses said, who shall I say has sent me to your people? And the Lord said, I am. I am who I am. Yahweh, Lord, is the Hebrew word, and it ultimately speaks of God's self-existence, of His eternality, of His self-sustaining being. The Lord, I am who I am, the great cosmic ruler and maker and sustainer of the universe. That great God is my shepherd. You see what David does here in this poetic description. He speaks of the cosmic God of all eternity and the universe condescending to us so lowly and in such a comforting way that He has become my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's comforting and a tender description of the God of the universe. It puts David in the role of sheep, one who needs attention, one who needs provision, one who needs care. And the Lord in the role of shepherd, the one who provides that care. The Lord is my shepherd. And we can't help but think how David must have been drawn to this metaphor because he was, of course, a shepherd before he became a king. He grew up tending the flocks of his father in the house of Jesse. He grew up living out in the fields, putting in many hours every night, every day, tending and caring and protecting the flock, feeding them. He knew what it was like, this relationship of shepherd and sheep. And he could see in that relationship that he knew so well, that he knew firsthand, the same relationship in some way between the Lord and His people. David wasn't the first person in the Old Testament to apply this imagery to the Lord. The patriarch Jacob said the same thing on his deathbed in Genesis 48 as he blessed his son Joseph. He said at the end of his life, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." Jacob also knew that the Lord was a provider, that the Lord was like a shepherd. Shepherds were such a common sight in the ancient Near East. And so it was easy to think of the Lord as one who provides, like a shepherd would provide for his own flock. And so he drawed upon this description of the Lord, this imagery of the Lord of the universe stooping down to take him as part of his flock, as part of that flock to which his fathers Abraham and Isaac belonged, and to care for him as a loving shepherd. That was the imagery of the Old Testament, the Lord as a shepherd. And it's precisely what the Lord was to Israel as he constituted a nation for himself. They were like his flock. And he provided for that flock. He acted like a shepherd to them. He gave them manna in the wilderness. He gave them water from the rock. He provided food for their bodies. He provided food for their souls. He provided His Word to them through Moses, giving them His law and His promises. He provided to them a king after His own heart, David, who was supposed to care for Israel like a shepherd. The king was to be a shepherd. So the Lord provided these things. The Lord's a provider. He gives. He provides for His people. And we see that all throughout redemptive history. From the time of Jacob using that, that imagery and then everything we see with regard to the Lord's relationship with Israel. And Israel would even sing psalms describing the Lord as a shepherd. We heard that Psalm 95 in the call to worship this evening. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people, notice, of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. They would sing these psalms in worship. The Lord is a shepherd. So from the time of Jacob until the time of David, almost 2,000 years later, this metaphor was used for the Lord. And because David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, well, then he could also say the rest of verse 1. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, what does that mean? There are probably millions of people in the world, literally millions, who are familiar with this psalm, familiar with the words, and wonder sometimes, what does that mean, I shall not want? Does that mean that we won't want anything anymore if the Lord is our shepherd? Does that mean it's wrong to want something? What about when you want food or you want to go to sleep or want all kinds of things? What does that mean, I shall not want? Well, what it simply means is that I shall not lack any good thing. If the Lord is my shepherd, if the God of the universe, the self-existent God, has become my shepherd, what shall I lack? What shall I lack? We will not be in want. You know, left to themselves, sheep will eventually destroy themselves. They lack everything. They are some of the most needy creatures, and the truth is probably some of the least intelligent livestock in the whole world. They use dogs and other animals to go round them up because they're more intelligent than the sheep. And it's no newsflash that the Lord uses that to describe us, sheep. There's many similarities. It's not a joke that He's playing on us. It's that we need attention. Left to ourselves, we lack everything. We think we know what we need. We think we know what's best for us. We have an idea of what we want. But the shepherd knows best. And sheep, left to themselves, are not going to find the things that they need. They can't provide for themselves. They need a shepherd. They need one to provide for them. They are some of the most helpless animals. But as one writer put it, if we belong to the One who is self-sufficient, inexhaustible, and utterly unchanged by time, we will lack nothing. He is sufficient for all things and will provide for us. And David beautifully describes how the Lord provides for us. He tells us several things here that we will not lack. First of all, we will not lack rest. Notice verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Shepherds, even modern shepherds, attest to how difficult it is to get sheep to lie down and rest. Apparently, sheep are such fickle animals that if they have any fear, if there's any anxiety that they have about finding food to eat, if they are disturbed by any kind of parasites or flies, they simply won't lie down. And so it becomes very difficult for shepherds to get their sheep to get rest, to lie down. And that leads to other problems. And so what David describes here in this picture is a shepherd who does just that which the sheep need. He leads them to places where they're calm, where they can sit in the stillness, where they can listen, where He gives them that which they need for their soul, just like He's doing right now. Here we are, being caused to lie down, to sit in the stillness, to take a break from the buzz, the noise, the constant busyness that we're involved in, to sit together in the stillness and to hear our shepherd speak to us. The Lord is our shepherd. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. He gives us that which we need. And that's exactly what the Lord provided to His people in redemptive history. He provided Israel with rest by rescuing them from slavery, bringing them out of the bondage of Egypt, bringing them out of this harsh life of being under a taskmaster and being under Pharaoh. To what? To a land of rest. He brought them through the wilderness to a promised land, a land of rest. And we've experienced the same thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has led us out of the slavery of our sin and into His rest. We have entered into His rest, a rest that He earned for us by working for us in His obedient life, in His atoning death. And in Him we have rest from what? From trying to earn God's favor. From trying to find a way to get into heaven. From trying to find a way to attain spiritual fullness, spiritual enlightenment. We have rest in Jesus Christ. He's the one who says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those are the words of Jesus. That's His promise. That's the promise of Jesus to you. "Come and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." You will find rest for your souls in Christ. And look how He continues to bring us to places of rest. He's brought us here on this Lord's Day. He provides us with a Sabbath, a day of rest, a day of ceasing from the noise and the busyness and the distractions and all of the things we need to fulfill and get done, a day of a break, a holiday. Oh, He's provided. If anyone says, "Well, He doesn't give me rest," He gives it to you every week. He's built it into your life. And He brings us here to this place. Again, to hear. To turn off all of the artificial stimuli that we seem to more and more fill our lives with as we progress in technology. That doesn't make us smarter. It just enslaves us more to our entertainment. And He brings us to a place of stillness and gives us rest and says, "Come to Me. Remember, I am the one who gives you rest. Not all of the things you're chasing." Jesus gives us rest. He provides us with rest. He provides us with guidance. Verse 3, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Sheep are these very foolish creatures. As I've said, there's probably no other class of livestock that needs more guidance than sheep. Reading a little bit about shepherds, it's said by shepherds that they can lead their flocks in places in the Mediterranean world. They can lead them to green pastures. And once they get there, the sheep, rather than doing what you think they would do, which is go and eat because they have all this green grass and it's what they need, they'll begin to wander. And they will wander right off to places where there is no grass. They'll go right to places that are barren, where they can't find food, and they will die for lack of a shepherd. And this has always been this way. You almost wonder if God had created sheep just to give us an illustration. An illustration of ourselves, really. But He leads us. He brings us to places where we can graze, and then He keeps us. The problem is that in our sin, we want to go astray. In our sin, we think we know what we need. "Oh, I don't want that again, that same grass. I'm going to go looking." And we go running off, and what we think we need is really nothing good for our souls in reality, because we're sheep. When the shepherd has told us what we need, that's why wisdom is in hearing what He tells us, rather than trusting our sheep-like selves. Because in our sin, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. That's what sin does. Sin wants its own way, even though the Lord knows better. Sin wants what it wants, irrespective of what the Lord says. But it will only lead us to places where there's no food or water for the soul. And that's what Israel did as a nation. Although the Lord had taken them into covenant with Himself and provided them with rest and with guidance, although He led them in paths of righteousness, they still rebelled and wandered off in their sin. And yet the Lord, being gracious and being faithful to His promise, He promised that a true shepherd would come, who would go and seek and save that which is lost and bring His people together. Isaiah 40, the prophecy was that He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That's the Lord Jesus. That shepherd is Jesus. And so the whole Old Testament, with all of its shepherd imagery, it's ultimately foreshadowing and prophesying about Jesus Christ. He is the true shepherd who came to seek and save those sheep that were lost. Isaiah 53, again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 10. I lay down my life for the sheep. So He is the one who provides for us. He is the one who gives us rest for our souls. He is the one who restores our souls, giving them life. He's the one who leads us in paths of righteousness. He provides for His flock. And He also protects His flock. That's the next thing we must consider. The shepherd's protection. And David moves into that in verse 4, which is really the middle stanza of this song. Verses 1 through 3 seem to be the first stanza, and there he's describing the joy of knowing that God is our provider. And then he moves into how the Lord is our protector, but then even though God is our provider, that doesn't mean that we are immune from suffering. This is what verse 4 gets at. David knew that we still live in a fallen world, and the fact that God is our provider doesn't mean that we won't suffer, and the fact that we suffer doesn't mean that the Lord is not providing for us. We still live in a fallen age. We are still traveling through this valley of the shadow of death. And yet, as David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The picture, again, it's like a child being afraid of the dark and yet calling for his dad and then holding his dad's hand, and then he fears no evil because dad is with me in the dark. The shepherd is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherds in the ancient Near East would carry a long staff. This, you've probably seen them before, with a crook, and as sheep would get themselves stuck and bushes or in the high up on rocks, and the shepherd would pull the sheep down and bring them back. He wouldn't simply leave them. And he carried a rod too, basically a bat, to beat off wolves and animals of prey. Today, modern shepherds in Scotland and in the Mediterranean world, usually they carry rifles to shoot wolves and other animals that still come after sheep. But the point there is that there's this protection and this comfort that we have with knowing that the Lord is with us and He is our protector. He has sworn Himself to us. And the Lord showed Himself to be that to Israel again. We see so much about Israel in this relationship of sheep to shepherd. Because the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt and brought them through the wilderness, brought them through the Red Sea, brought them through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a phrase, really, that we could also translate the deep darkness. He brought them through the deep darkness. And yet they were comforted to know that He was with them. As they saw the fiery pillar by night and the cloud by day, they were comforted to know that the Lord was with them as they came into the promised land and the Lord descended upon the tabernacle and they knew that the presence of the Lord was there. Well, they were comforted to know these things. The Lord showed Himself to be one who would protect His people. And He protects us as well. We too are in a wilderness. We have not yet arrived to the promised land, to Jerusalem, the golden. We're in a wilderness. But the Lord is with us. He has not left us. We need fear no evil. He has given us His Spirit, which is evidence that He is with us. It's the presence of Christ. He is with us, and we need fear no evil. And Jesus Himself, He went down into the valley of the shadow of death, didn't He, for us? He plunged Himself all the way to the depths of that valley, into the deep darkness. His death on the cross. He said, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And therefore, we need not even fear death, loved one. For death, the sting has been removed. Body separating from soul, a fearful thing. We need not even fear that. Because even that enemy has been conquered. And on the last day, when Christ returns, it will be destroyed altogether. We need not even fear death itself. Christ has been raised from the dead. The Lord is our protector. He won't allow our faith to be extinguished. He won't allow our faith to fail. He has brought you here this evening to hear this message, to speak to you, to open your ears and to say, "Come back. I know you want to go astray. I know you want to run to where there is no food. But come here. Feed. Hear that your soul may live. What are you doing, sheep?" And He gently brings you back. He pulls you in. He says, "Where are you going?" And He keeps you. He protects you. He won't allow your faith to fail. For He gave His life for you. He assumed flesh for you. He was raised from the dead for you. And you will see Him. You will see your good shepherd face to face. He provides for His flock. He protects His flock. And finally, He gives us His promise. His promise. He promises to feed us now, and He promises to do something later. Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." You know, the Lord is a shepherd who feeds us abundantly, who gives us a rich meal for the soul. And this was really the indictment that the Lord had upon the false shepherds of Israel, wasn't it? Ezekiel lambasts those false shepherds and fills up huge swaths of his chapters in his book, bringing judgment against the false shepherds, saying, "Thus says the Lord to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture. I will establish one shepherd over them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Ezekiel said that long after David was dead and long before Christ came. Because the shepherd he was talking about, the David he was talking about, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your shepherd. What characterizes the worthless shepherds is that they don't feed the flock. That they don't feed Christ's flock with the bread of life. Maybe they're feeding all kinds of things that the flock finds interesting. Maybe they're feeding all kinds of things that tickle the ear. But what characterizes them as worthless shepherds, as false shepherds, is that they're not feeding Christ's flock with His Word. Because the Word is what we need. That's why Peter was told by our Lord, after Christ was raised from the dead, Simon, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Why did he use that metaphor? Why did Jesus use that metaphor? Because he loves his flock. Because he cares for his flock. It's why we find Paul, when he said farewell to the elders of Ephesus, saying, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. The flock, the church is the flock. And Christ is that shepherd. And it's why we find Peter telling others to be good under-shepherds of Christ's flock, to feed the sheep. And even now, that's what the Lord is doing. He continues to feed our hungry souls with the bread of life, which is Christ, given to us in His Word and in His table. Even this evening, we're feasting on the food that God promised to give to us, the ancient promise that He would feed His flock. Well, that's coming to pass even now. As we're here in the stillness, as we're led to green pastures beside still waters, and we're feasting on Christ. Those ancient promises, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Do you see what the Lord does? He connects hearing to eating. Hearing is the way we eat for the soul. Hearing. Sitting and listening. That means computers and everything have to be shut off. TVs and iPhones. And hearing. Here, even in our modern world, the Lord is still doing this, bringing us to a place where we hear so that our souls may live. And He even provides us His table, something we can see, something we can smell, something we can put in our mouths. What are we eating these days? What food are you delighting in? Well, Christian, don't eat junk food. For your soul. For your good shepherd has provided you with a feast. And the food is Himself. That is His promise for the here and now. That is His promise to you that you will be fed. And not only that, but He says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy, and that word mercy actually is the same word for steadfast love. Chesed, it's his covenant faithfulness. It shall follow me or pursue me all the days of my life. This will continue all the days of my life. He will relentlessly pursue His sheep, bringing them back into the fold, feeding them, protecting them, providing for them, caring for them. Surely goodness and covenant faithfulness shall pursue me all the days of my life. And listen to this. Here's the promise for the future. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. The house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Well, a little microcosm type of the house of the Lord was the tabernacle, the temple. And now that's been expanded, of course, to Christ's church. But on the last day, when Christ returns, just as He cleansed the temple in His first coming, He will cleanse His whole cosmic temple at His second coming, which is His entire universe. It will be filled with the glory of the Lord to the fullest. And this whole house we will dwell in, a resurrected, glorified universe. We can't even come close to anything like that in our life. God says, you will dwell there.
forever. My sheep will be with me where I am. That's Jesus' promise to us. He passed through the valley of the shadow of death so that we would be brought to life. He went deep down into deep darkness so that we would live in everlasting light. Listen to what he says in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He will deliver us from the grave. Even the grave is only temporary. Even death, that seems so final, will not be able to hold us down because of Christ and what He has accomplished in His resurrection. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The new heavens and the new earth. And even now we have a foretaste of that great meal. That great feast that's spoken of by Isaiah when he says, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This evening, loved ones, we have a foretaste of that. A little glimpse of that as we're gathered together in the stillness. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, which Christ said, here's just a little token, bread and wine. As you come together and you think of what is yet to come, the feast that is in the future. The Lord is our shepherd. And if He is our shepherd, we shall not lack any good thing. We are full in Him. We have everything in Him. And we have a bright future that He has promised. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we bless Your name this evening and we thank You for what You have provided us in Jesus Christ. We thank You for our good shepherd who laid down His life for us. We thank You, Lord, as we sang earlier that we look forward to the sweet and blessed country, the home that You've prepared for Your elect, that sweet and blessed country that our eager hearts expect. Thank You that our good shepherd has secured that for us. And thank You that You have promised to provide for us, to protect us, to guide us, and to bring us to home at last. Increase our faith now, Lord, we pray, as we come to Your table to commune with the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen.